It's a great honor to be invited to ascend this pulpit today, and I thank Father Angelo, Father Ignatius, and we wish special blessings, pray special blessings at this Mass for Father Peter, who is celebrating 50 years as a priest. We praise God for his ministry. I suppose it's somewhat fitting to be here beyond being a Dominican invited to a Franciscan pulpit on the feast of the Solemnity of St. Francis, because I had once wanted to be a Franciscan. And I had done some reading about St. Francis. There's a big, thick, red book that all of the tertiaries will certainly know, as well as the fathers and brothers, called the Omnibus. And there are wonderful stories about St. Francis taken from his life. But one always comes to my mind that contradicts all those images that we have of St. Francis as that something like that peaceful, hippie-type, nature-loving do-gooder. The story has to do with one of the brothers finding some money in a church and being rebuked and punished by St. Francis for handling it. Perhaps later on I'll tell you the details of how that brother was rebuked is perhaps not terribly fitting for the pulpit. Well, there is a 15th century joke about Franciscans and Dominicans. Of being of a medieval order, I thought it would be fitting to tell something of a post-medieval joke that brings out the relationship between the Franciscans and the Dominicans in somewhat of a humorous way. As the story goes, there was a Franciscan and a Dominican traveling along on foot together. But at a certain point, they reached a brook. The Dominican asked the Franciscan, who was already barefoot, to carry him across the water on his back. And the Franciscan, of course, being the humble friar that he was, agreed and hoisted the Dominican onto his back and into the middle of the stream. Halfway across, the Franciscan suddenly stopped and said to the Dominican, "Tell me, brother, do you have any money on you?" The Dominican, thinking that the Franciscan was hoping for some kind of remuneration for having hauled his white-habited friar brother across, said, "Yes, but not too much." Whereupon immediately the Franciscan threw the Dominican into the water. The Dominican, getting up soaking wet, said to the Franciscan, "Why did you do that?" And the Franciscan said, "Because we're not allowed to carry any money." Which ties in with Francis rebuking that brother. Perhaps 16th century humor doesn't grab us the same way that our modern jokes do, but the life of St. Francis certainly does. That hasn't changed. Even if St. Dominic is not nearly as popular as St. Francis, I'm very happy that the founder of my order is not always portrayed as a birdbath statue. On the one hand, St. Francis was truly a saint who appreciated the beauty of the created realm, the created world, the created realm, a kind of holy nature lover. But to leave it at that is to completely misunderstand the man whom we Dominicans also call our Holy Father, just as we do St. Dominic. We call him our Holy Father on account of the relationship that St. Francis and St. Dominic had. Francis was not so much a nature lover as a lover of the God of creation. In fact, we must account for his holiness in this alone, that he passionately loved Jesus Christ. This love was so great that he became like that which he loved. St. Thomas Aquinas, Dominican, teaches us that love brings us into union with that which we love. We can say that we become what we love. So much was this the case for Francis that he even bore the marks of Christ's suffering in his body. And while the marks of the stigmata are not the most amazing part of this saint's life, they tell us much, not only about Francis and about Jesus, but also about ourselves and how we must live and how we must love. On the mountain of Laverna, close to the feast of the Triumph of the Cross, September 14th, in the year 1224, St. Francis of Assisi was marked, not in some sacramental way, as at baptism or confirmation, but this time with the very wounds of Christ in his hands and his feet. Traveling to that very place in 1993, to Laverna, Pope John Paul II remarked about St. Francis in this way. He said, "Here the poverello, the little one, of Assisi walked. Here he revealed the great love burning in his heart, the love which made him resemble his beloved. The love which made him resemble his beloved, the crucified one." And then the Holy Father, quoting the passage that we heard from the second reading today, "I bear the marks of Jesus on my body." Those are the words of St. Paul to the Galatians. Paul's words were wondrously fulfilled in St. Francis. These were the external scars on his body, which were a special sign of the daily cross that St. Francis took up. Francis bore the marks of the cross in his soul long before he bore them in his body. And from that day of his conversion, when he was such a young man, he obeyed the words of our Lord, as we find in St. Luke's Gospel, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Dear friends, this was the boast of St. Francis, much as it was the boast of St. Paul, who boasted of nothing but the cross of Christ, as again he wrote later in the letter to the Galatians. Both St. Paul and St. Francis can say, because of their love for Jesus, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world, as Pope John Paul II had said, does not want to be crucified. And here he's not talking about the realm of creation, the beautiful world we see around us, but the kingdom of darkness. That world does not want to be crucified. It flees the cross. People run away from being crucified to the world. That is how it was in Francis' day and still is today. This is the Pope speaking. The struggle between the world and the cross goes on forever. It is a battle with the cross of salvation. It could therefore seem that Francis has become something of an irrelevant, useless witness, because the world flees the cross and have made him into a mere birdbath statue. That was not St. Francis, our Father. Whoever says to Christ, "My Lord are you, apart from you I have no good," seems to offend the contemporary mentality. Indeed, man often does not acknowledge the Lord as being over him. He wants to be the master of himself and the world. And this is why St. Francis' message is becoming an even greater sign of contradiction. A message of this kind should be rejected, and yet increasingly it is sought after by those who love Jesus. We become what we love. This will work to our good or to our destruction. What is it we love? Who do we love? Do we love Christ more even than our own lives? More than we love the kingdom of this world? Of what does our love consist when we look at our brothers and sisters, those here in the chapel, and those who are not so lovable in the situations where we find ourselves daily? God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to redeem the world. God's love for man drove Him to become a man for us, for our salvation. Not some salvation in an ethereal sense of that word, some faraway theological sense, but salvation meaning union with Christ, union with God, union with the Blessed Trinity. A union that begins in this life and continues into the next, into that perfect union that is even described as marital union in heaven. It is essential to daily ask ourselves, what is it, who is it that we love? For we cannot reverse the fact that we do become what we love. And so if our primary love is for Christ, we will become one with Him. It is impossible to come into contact with the living God and not be changed. It is even more impossible to love God, by His grace of course, and not be changed interiorly as well. This is what happened to St. Francis interiorly on the day of his conversion. We might even say that the stigmata were merely an external manifestation of the great love that began the day of his conversion. Brothers and sisters, we are all called to have those same marks of love in our being. It is true that such mystical phenomena as the stigmata are rare, and it would be presumptuous of us even to ask of God such a gift. But we are to bear these marks in our souls, marks which are created by love. Our love of Jesus will make us desire more and more to embrace Him on the cross, to embrace mortification for love of Him and love of our brothers and sisters. Each one of us is called to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ in the way that St. Francis was visibly conformed to Him by the imprinting of those marks on his body. We can, as our Holy Father Pope John Paul II taught, we must each aspire to that great holiness, which is nothing other than drawing near to the Almighty, to the Lord Jesus, loving Him, loving His cross, even to the point of being crucified. Do we aspire to great holiness? Then we aspire to great love and to becoming one with Christ crucified. Yes, Francis loved the world, not the kingdom of darkness, but the created realm, to the point of being made, even in our day, perhaps, the patron saint of bird baths. But he did not love that other notion of the world, the kingdom of darkness. He loved Christ crucified, and even today, from his exalted place in glory, calls us to look upon Christ. Not only to look upon Him, to gaze upon Him, not only to gaze upon Him, but to become one with what we see, to keep our eyes fixed on Him and Him alone. Holy Father St. Francis, Seraphic St. Francis, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.